I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things.
I got the Jordanian Nightmare, weighing 185 pounds. I got Nara's Way, weighing 230 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for street beefs?
That's a bit of sound pulled from a video the New York Times did recently about street beefs, a Harrisonburg phenomenon that was organized to settle intractable, potentially dangerous arguments through controlled, gloved-up fights.
Hey!
Organizer Chris Wilmore, child of an absent father and drug-addicted mother, was horribly burned at 5, trying to pull his brother out of a house fire. 103 skin graft surgeries later, Scarface, as Chris is known around Harrisonburg, had developed an opiate addiction. After that came major trouble with law enforcement.
Altogether, in multiple lockups and penitentiaries, I did 11 years. In between the age of 13 and 24, I wasn't out that much. So I met my wife in 2003.
How'd you meet?
We met at a nightclub, Main Street Bar and Grill. You remember it?
I do.
We used to have a blast there. And usually I didn't meet marriage material there, but I ran into my wife, and she just was a different person. Her character, she's so different than me. She's a little country girl. And she demanded change, but she didn't demand it forcefully. It was just like I would do mean things, and I would see she was disappointed in me. And that made me not want to ever do it again. And over time, my life is just, I wanted to be better for her. And then my children came, and I really wanted to be better for them.
How old are your kids?
I have a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old. Two boys and a girl.
So where did the idea for street beefs come from?
Well, when I was young, I boxed. And our coach, if we had disputes, he would tell us, you can bring them in on a Saturday. And if they're willing to box you, as long as you agree to leave everything in the ring, you can do it. And I had a guy back then that I despised, and he despised me. And we got in that ring, and we fought for 6 rounds, and it was a war. And we walked away with mutual respect. So fast forward, that's always been imprinted in my mind. And here's the thing. I can name 4 people that I knew in the last 8 years that died in a violent fashion right here in Harrisonburg. Okay. I had people comment on our video and say, that's not reality. I live in Harrisonburg. That's our reality. If I know 4 people that's been killed by knives or guns, don't you tell me it's not reality. It sure is. I'm by no means saying that Harrisonburg is Chicago. It's not a war zone. But let's be clear. The city put cameras up on Kelly Street. Those cameras aren't there to watch wildlife. They're there because there was drug, gun, and gang activity. That's why they put cameras up. So I had multiple friends here in Harrisonburg, and they were killed violently. It hit me so hard, and it made me so angry because it was senseless. So at that point, we were already doing some dispute settling fights, and people knew that they could come to my yard, and we could settle it. But I ramped up my efforts, and I start actively asking around. You know, anybody who has severe problem, let's get together. First thing I ask is, can we talk about it first? It's not just, oh, you got a problem, let's go fight. No. It's, can we sit down and talk first? And there has been incidents where we've talked it out and walked away. But some people...
And is that held?
Yeah. It's held. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Now, we don't have 100% success rate, no. But I would guesstimate 75 to 80% of the guys walk away, and even if they're not best friends afterwards, they leave it alone. And that's all that matters. You know, they weren't friends before we talked, so we're not trying to build a friendship. We're just trying to stop them from hurting each other.
You get 2 people, they have a beef, they can't talk it out. Mm-hmm. How does the process actually work?
So the process goes like this. We'll get them both to agree to a time and date that works with work schedules or whatever they have. I make it clear that each fighter's only allowed to bring two people, and that's a newer rule. We used to let them bring anybody they wanted, but then the crowd started getting rowdy because there was disputes between family members. So now we tell them, you're only allowed to bring two people. They'll show up at that time. We'll keep them separate from each other. They'll each have somebody in their corner. The rules will be read to them clearly. They will be taped up, gloved up. We'll go over the rules with them again.
What are the rules?
Well, it's for one, unified MMA rules, which is anything you see in the UFC goes in the yard. But in a nutshell, it would be easier for me to tell you what's not allowed.
Okay.
What's not allowed is eye gouging, any type of groin shots, any type of chops to the throat. Am I leaving anything out here? That's
or weapons.
Weapons, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
We don't allow anybody to fight in boots. If the ref says break and you refuse to break, you'll be automatically disqualified. No shots to the back of the head. Those are very dangerous. We don't allow that. You get one warning for a shot to the back of the head, then you're disqualified. That's pretty much it. The rules are all safety-based. Oh, we did add another rule last year, which is called no over-the-head slams or head-first slams. And what that is, two guys will be fighting, and another guy will be lifted up and slammed head-first. That can cause a broken neck.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing. And we're not here for anybody to get killed, maimed, or paralyzed. So we've set these rules strictly for, you know, we've had people write us and say, you should let them go without gloves. And I said, no way. We're not here to let them kill each other. We're here to let them get it out of their system and walk away alive. Things have changed a little. I thought racism was dying, but I'm starting to see more casual racism lately, and it does bother me. There is some people that are left behind economically, but I also believe that you can't use that as an excuse to lay down. I got a fighter's mentality. I didn't lay down through 100 surgeries. I didn't lay down through being stabbed, and I'm not going to lay down for a tough life. I'm going to keep fighting. So, and that's the message I try to send to the young guys that come around me. I tell all of them, dude, you got potential. Well, what is my potential? You're alive. And as long as you're alive, you've got a chance to turn it around. I just want to keep on keeping on. If I feel like I'm a big believer in karma, and I can tell you that I built up a lot of bad karma when I was younger, a lot. And I know now that I got to build some good karma back up. And I say to myself, maybe if I stop one killing or one person going to prison forever, one family from being broke up, maybe I'll build up a little good karma, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Street Beef?
You'll find a link to the New York Times Street Beef's video created by Stuart Harmon and Matteo Manassi on the Spark page at WMRA.org.